I'm going to be reading our New Testament readings, which this morning are taken from Galatians and from the Gospel of Luke. Hear now the word of the Lord. Galatians 6, doing good to all. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. Luke chapter 10. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe off our feet,' as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The word of the Lord. I have the joy and privilege to introduce and welcome Dr. Talika McCoy as our guest speaker this morning. I've known Dr. McCoy for, I think it's like 7 years now. I was originally introduced to Dr. McCoy through Heather McClendon, who many of you know, a longtime member here at Ecclesia. And we've had the joy and privilege of hearing Dr. McCoy teach in this space a number of times over the years. And one message and one day that I'm particularly grateful for was a day when in that sermon, she broke out in gospel song in the middle of the sermon and introduced us to the song, "Walk with me, Lord, walk with me." And that is a song that we sing here regularly. I'm sure you all recognize that melody that I just sang. So we owe Dr. McCoy thanks for that. So I'm going to say just a real quick word of blessing, and then we are going to welcome her up here. So let's pray. God, bless your servant this day, and give us ears and hearts that are open to receive what it is you've got for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's welcome Dr. McCoy.
Amen. Could we give God praise for this wonderful, these singers and musicians on this morning? They really blessed my soul. And I thank God for the leadership of your pastors. I thank God for Pastors Curtis and Pastor CJ. And to all of the great leadership of Ecclesia Church here in Raleigh, to all of the members, to all of the family and friends, even to those virtual worshipers, we are blessed to be able to be found in a place where we can gather and praise the Lord in the ways that we're able to do it in this COVID-19 season. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. God, I ask that you decrease me now so that you will be increased. And if there's someone who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, touch them in the only way that you can, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm grateful that my mom is here on this morning, and I bring you greetings from the Mount Peace Baptist Church. My pastor is the Reverend Dr. J. Vincent Terry Sr., and I'm so grateful that on today I will be serving the good people at Mount Peace. Our service starts at noon, and so I'll be preaching there on this morning. Well, that'll be afternoon, but I just wanted to say that because I would love to greet every one of you personally, one by one. But I'm going to be trying to get over there. But if you ever see me anywhere, remind me that we were in this same space so that I can spend some time with you, okay, one-on-one. I'm sure we'll see one another again. On this morning, the scripture that was read, so many scriptures are read in such a powerful way. I just love that. I'm going to reread a portion of that 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 5 is all I'm going to read. But I'm so glad that he read more of this particular biblical story where we find Naaman and this little girl. So I'm going to talk about the initiator of hope. And I'm going to read from the New International Version of Scripture, only those five verses that you already heard. But when we consider 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 5 in the New International Version of Scripture, the Bible tells us that Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a little girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. Verse 3, she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the little girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. So I want to talk about the initiator of hope. Now, when we consider this particular portion of scripture in this text, the child in the text is the initiator of hope, the little girl. And one thing I love about children is that they're not afraid to open their mouths and really to say what they need to say. I saw a precious little girl when I walked in today, and I don't know where she is in here, but she was adorable, and she had these cute little shoes on. And what I notice about children is that they're so embracing, and they're so loving, and they can even be initiators of hope. Now, I don't know what happens when we get older, but it seems that in some of us, some things change. We don't always want to greet like that little girl did, you know, on this morning. Now, many of you greeted me when I came in, so I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I'm just talking about how people change. We seem to change a lot when we get older. But what I love about the Bible is that there are so many instances where children teach us lessons. And so on this morning, we get the grand opportunity to be taught a lesson through a child. Now, many of us know that an initiator is a person who is responsible for thinking of a thing or starting a thing, right? So we're pretty much familiar with what an initiator is. And then when we think about hope, we're simply talking about expectation. We know that hope is about a desire for certain things to happen. So that's who this child is, an initiator of hope. She helped to inspire hope in Naaman's life. So then Naaman, this man, he was living in expectation for change or of change. He was living in expectation of change. He had a poor health condition. Naaman, we don't know how long he suffered with leprosy, but some would label his condition as hopeless. Some people would have known the type of condition leprosy was in the days of antiquity. They would have known that Naaman would have lived with these skin blemishes that rendered him ritually unclean. They would have known that Naaman faced social stigma and exclusion. Talk about social distancing during COVID-19. This man, it would have been beyond, 6 feet. It would have been beyond wearing a mask. Naaman would have lived with this seemingly hopeless condition, this obvious skin condition, something that people could see. Now we know that the Bible tells us that he was commander of an army, so he would have had on his armor a lot of times. But how many people know that you can try to hide a particular thing, but then life will so show as such where you have to take those things off and everybody can really see who you are? So Naaman lived with this condition. People would have stayed away from him because touching him would have made them unclean. So then that means that even his marital relationship may have been strained. His relationship with his wife, he would have been in this situation. Where is the hope in all of that? Leprosy was something that Naaman wanted to rid himself of. He was living in a trying time. And I tell you, even in 2022, we are living in a trying time. A trying time for our nation. A trying time for our world. I mean, Ecclesia, in 2022, although our condition may not be leprosy, we are living in trying times. Like Naaman, some of us want to rid ourselves and our communities of our bad health condition. We have a bad health condition. I mean, America doesn't have leprosy, but our health condition is bad. When I consider the death of migrants in San Antonio recently, this horrific and really heartbreaking tragedy where at least 50 dead migrants were discovered in a truck in Texas, our health is bad because this reveals the need for America to go after criminal trafficking rings. Our health is bad. When I consider the toddler who was accidentally shot in Florida, she was shot by a little 8-year-old boy who was playing with his father's gun. Our health is bad. This reveals our need, America's need, to extend more attention to the keepings of our weapons. We may not have leprosy, but our health is bad. When I consider the discussions around the Supreme Court's ruling overturning Roe versus Wade, those discussions, they reveal the need for America to support children and parents after birth, not just scream pro-life before birth. Do we care about what happens to children when they get here? Our health is bad. We don't have leprosy, but I would contend unto you today that our collective health is bad. So then it makes me understand the words to the song when people felt the pain collectively, even here in America, when they said, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand." They cried out and said, "I am tired, I am weak, I am worn." the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Sometimes when we think about our condition, it can make us want to go on home and be with the Lord. But I want to encourage us on this morning that this text is a reminder that there is still hope. There is always hope. So don't give up. Let the Lord take you by the hand and walk you through even the darkest parts of the human experience. Lord, take my hand, but I won't take my life because I believe that you are still in control. I love this text because today what we find is the words of this Israelite slave girl speaking hope into someone's life, speaking to the point where it begins Naaman's healing. So then that means that you cannot be afraid to use your voice to speak because it could begin America's healing. This initiator of hope, she used the problem of her life as an opportunity to witness. This opportunity came even though she had problems. I mean, she had the problem of being a displaced insider. She had the problem of being an unnamed servant. We don't even know her name. She had the problem of being a youngster and of lowly position. She wasn't like Naaman. He was the commander of an army, right? She wasn't like Naaman. He was a powerful man. He had fortune, and not to mention, he was friends with a king. She wasn't like him. But she wasn't sick either. He was sick. She wasn't like him. He was sick. She wasn't. So she witnessed to his need. She had her own problems, yet she gave the gift of hope. What gift are we giving even when we have problems? We need to know, church, that our problems don't diminish hope. This initiator, this hope initiator, she did not let her position hinder her voice. She knew that she was goods. She knew that she was property. But she also knew that she had some information that was able to help someone else. She knew. She said in verse 3, she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Her actions now, it could have caused her to be punished. Her actions, I mean, they could have not even believed her. Her actions really could have banned her from speaking. But in spite of her position, she was bold enough to open her mouth. And it takes courage to be hopeful in a difficult place. I said it takes courage to be hopeful in a difficult place. A great example of this would be Mr. Langston Hughes. He wrote a poem entitled, "Let America Be America Again." And he was courageous enough to speak, to write these words, to put pen to paper and write these words in a difficult place. An excerpt from the poem, "Let America Be America Again." And I'm talking about the courage to be hopeful in a difficult place. Mr. Langston Hughes said, "Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America was never America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic reef, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, for freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws the veil across the stars? I am the poor white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro, bearing slavery's scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching to hope, the hope I seek, and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. Oh yes, I say it plain. America has never been America to me. And yet, I swear this oath, America will be. Oh, Mr. Langston Hughes, that great American poet, that black social activist, that great novelist, playwright, and columnist from Missouri, he had hope. Ecclesia, that's hope when he said, America was never America to me, and yet I swear this oath, it will be. That's having courage to be hopeful in a difficult place. Like this little girl, Mr. Langston Hughes, he found courage to be hopeful even though his position was such that he felt that he was one of the oppressed, even though he felt he was in a difficult place. And I believe in 2022, we too can carry a message of hope. So I ask you on this morning, what's inside of you? What kind of message comes out of your mouth? You see, your words are not just something that's just formed by the sound and your larynx is there and they're just making sounds. No, every word counts. Are you an initiator of hope? What was your last conversation? What did they say to you? And what did you say back? What are you? Would you say, because this little girl, this initiator of hope's voice made an impact. Naaman went to see Elisha, the prophet, and he was cured of his leprosy. Hopeful voices count. You can be a hopeful voice. I can be a hopeful voice. We can be hopeful voices together. We must stand against all of the negative energy that is trying to tear our country down. Ecclesia, I tell you, on this morning, I feel like that little girl. Oh, I know I'm an adult. I know that many things we don't say once we become adults because we want to be sure that we are politically correct and we want to be sure that we don't hurt people's feelings. Well, when you decide to be an initiator of hope, that means that the words that you speak will be that of love. Now, they may be convicting, but isn't that what love does? Now they may be uncomfortable, but isn't that how you grew? Now they may be tight, but isn't that how you began to loosen up and really be the good person that God has called you to be? Yes, I feel like that little girl this morning. You see, she cried out and she said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Well, Ecclesia, on this Independence Day weekend, I want to cry out just like that little girl. No, I'm not speaking to that mistress, but I'm speaking to America collectively. On this morning, I feel just like that little girl. I say as I cry out, if only my country would see my master, Jesus, he would cure us from our hate. Oh, I feel like that little girl on this morning. If only my country would see my master Jesus, he would cure us from our bigotry. I feel like that little girl on this morning. If only my country would see my master Jesus, he would cure us from our hypocrisy. I feel like her. If only my country would see my master Jesus, he would cure us from our evilness. I feel like a little child. If only my country would see my master Jesus, he would cure us from our transgressions. If only my country would see my master Jesus, he would cure us from our vices. If only my country would see my master Jesus, he would cure us from all of the isms. Be free, America. Be free, America. Stop being a slave to racism and stop being a slave to ageism and stop being a slave to sexism and stop being a slave to all of the isms that oppress. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. So if we would see Jesus, Jesus can make the difference. How do I know? Because my Master Jesus lived. My Master Jesus, he did so many things. My Master Jesus makes a difference because he lived, he died, and he was buried, and he rose so that we would be free from all sin. Land of the free. Free from what? If my country would see my Jesus. We can have hope when we follow Jesus. Follow him today. Accept his leadership if you have not. It's one thing to come to church. It's another thing to come to Jesus. Follow his leadership on today. Though 2022 presents challenges, social, political, economic challenges, God is able to keep us hopeful even in challenging times. Do you have Jesus walking with you? Pastor Curtis mentioned that song I sang. Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. Is Jesus walking with you? Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. While I'm on this tedious journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. Are you walking with Jesus? Jesus Christ really is the greatest initiator of hope. And I'm glad about that today. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Glory, hallelujah, amen. God bless you, Ecclesia.